On this page, you will find selections from an as yet unpublished thesis on the spiritual direction relationship by a Benedictine abbot, Abbot Francis Benedict. His name is Benedict, and he also happens to be of the order that bears that same name. It concerns the modern spiritual direction relationship, and our purpose for looking at this is that it will, I think, help focus some characteristics for which we can search, to which we can be alert as we look at more ancient models of the direction relationship. We've already looked at the Eastern model, or variants on the Eastern model, through Bishop Calistos Ware, at a more specifically somewhat pre-Vatican II model from Thomas Merton. And each of those will provide us with language, with categories that we can bring to bear when we look at the developing church and the development of the Christian monastic tradition in particular. But this article will also help us focus on certain characteristics to which we want to be alert whenever we read texts concerning spiritual growth, so that we can see how they can be applied to the contemporary understanding of the role of the spiritual director. Abbot Francis' text consists largely in citations from rather helpful and useful sources, and so in many ways the selections that I've presented here are kind of a garden of aphorisms, of helpful phrases and, if you will, signposts that we can hold in mind as we look at other sources. The first section concerns what he has called as the search for personal spiritual direction in the context of the universal call to holiness. And his point, which I think is a very helpful one, and from which he has included, as I mentioned, a number of very useful quotations, is not how we direct ourselves, or even how someone else directs us, and this section has been highlighted in the indented first or second paragraph. The pointed issue is how we facilitate God's direction of us. The presumption is that God is the spiritual director. And he says that specifically in the next sentence. Sanctification is the work of the indwelling Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the true director of souls. This is not simply a kind of a pious aphorism, something that we say in order to sound humble. It is in fact the deepest truth. God is the director of our souls, and whether we are seeking to discern God's will in our own, according to our own lights, or involving other people in a dialogical relationship that helps us to do that, the ultimate question is, what is God enabling, facilitating, working, shaping within us? God is the true director, and we are all servants of that process. Abbot Francis goes on to say that God reveals a person's unique spiritual destiny to that individual gradually. This and several other texts we will be looking at come from a period prior to the current sensitivity to inclusive language, which we enjoy, and so I hope you'll forgive the fact that often inclusive language is not used in these texts. He goes on to say, God does not usually show and guide an individual in a particular way of holiness apart from interaction with fellow men and women. That is to say, we discover our direction, we discover our way of holiness in our interaction with one another. God is ultimately the director, but we only discover the truth about what God has in store for us in our interrelationships with one another. He goes on to link this to the notion of the incarnation. Christ is finally the one mediator, and Christ then gifts those who follow him with the capacity to carry on this work of mediation. And he quotes Edward Skillebeck in his description of Christ as the primordial sacrament, and then goes on in the section that begins with Skillebeck's name to say, men and women encounter God through human mediation, first through Christ, then in the church, the sacraments, and in many other ways. Christ delights in using human beings as ways of mediating his grace. So the spiritual director or the spiritual guide is simply one of the means Christ is using to direct the soul. The individual is is part of the economy of sanctification. And Abbot Francis goes on to quote Pope Leo XIII in his assertion that human beings are also thus part of the economy of salvation. God has decreed that man should for the most part be saved by man, by Christ ultimately, who became human for this purpose, but our salvation is through the words and through the example and through the work of other human beings. So there is this great mediation of grace of which spiritual direction is one part. So he then, in the next quoted paragraph, says that one of the real issues in our relating effectively with Christ is how to integrate our personal self-realization with our self-donation to Christ. The more we discover about who we are, who we were made to be, the more we are capable of offering ourselves as gift. We've already seen this theme touched upon, especially in Thomas Merton's writings, the idea of the unique gift that each individual is. Here Abbot Francis has mentioned it. In our own day, Pope John Paul II made this spiritual anthropology even clearer in what has come to be called his Theology of the Body, his catechesis on the sacrament of marriage and then on the possibility of the vow of celibacy. Pope John Paul II emphasizes the fact that it is because God became incarnate, because we live in bodies, and because this God who is a part of and who has infused himself into creation and now desires that we, in our own participation in creation, through it should mirror back the life of the Blessed Trinity, we are encouraged to discover what kind of a gift it is that we are to become. So our self-donation, our self-offering to Christ is the discovery of that unique gift which each of us is, and that discovery is part of the task of spiritual direction. Abbot Francis then goes on in the next section to quote Adolphe Tanqueray. I think we can pass over that section. But finally, Abbot Francis concludes, "It is the precise objective of the spiritual direction relationship to help the person to find his or her God-given spiritual orientation or direction, and in this way to respond in an advantageous manner to their personal call to holiness." The goal is that we direct effectively the powers and the impulses which God has chosen to give us and which God alone can give, discovering what we have the capacity and the aptitude to be so that we can discover how we can be that in relationship with others, for others, and ultimately also for God. In chapter 2, and again these are brief citations from his thesis, Abbot Francis describes what he calls the advantages of a one-to-one spiritual direction relationship, and he gives a couple of characteristics that will be helpful to us as we look at certain kinds of what could be called spiritual relationships, often having to do with teaching or the master-disciple relationship throughout the centuries. The one we'll be particularly looking for or sensitive to is, as he puts it, the one in which we discover our own unique spiritual direction or orientation, and then highlighted, first of all, it is not a group relationship. It is different from the master teaching a group of disciples simultaneously. And this will be important for us to bear in mind. We will find it difficult to locate in the early church, but nevertheless, there are hints and suggestions of it. It is a one-to-one, more personal relationship where what he describes as a confidential unfolding of oneself can take place. It's one-to-one. It's not a group experience. Second, it is a consistent relationship, not a once-only conversation. Although, again, bearing in mind that in the Eastern tradition, which Calistos Ware described, there can be instances of individuals whose spiritual lives were transformed and adequately transformed by a single meeting with a spiritual Geron or Starets. Now, that's the exception. I think what Abbot Francis is here emphasizing is important for us to bear in mind, that there is this second characteristic of consistency. It is a relationship in which one does go back to the individual. There is, as he puts it, a definite commitment on the part of the director and the person directed. He then goes on to describe, and he quotes Adrian von Kahm in his book, The Dynamics of Spiritual Self-Direction. That title is itself a reminder of the theme we saw in Thomas Merton, that as one progresses in spiritual life, perhaps more and more, one finds that one is directing oneself, although with recourse to an awareness of the need to periodically have recourse to a spiritual director. Father Van Kamm emphasizes the possibility and the necessity for spiritual self-direction, which he describes as the discovery and realization of one's divine self-direction in Christ. The advantages, or one of the great advantages, which Abbot Francis emphasizes in section 2.3 of his thesis, and we drop down to this, is that there is a kind of loneliness that is experienced in modern society because of the absence of dialogue or spiritual communication with others. And he's quoting Ignaz Lepp in particular. He then goes on to point out that we need to see ourselves through the eyes of others. This is a very beautiful image. I cannot see myself truly except through the eyes of an of another. And you can see that in this highlighted text he says, nobody can grow by self-experience only. Everybody needs the feedback of others, all what Ignaz Lepp is calling self-emergence takes place by means of mediation and what he calls transitional directors. Because there's always the danger, as is highlighted a little further on, of self-deception without the help of others. Part of the goal of the director is to help the individual avoid self-deception. And he includes a very beautiful quotation, "You can see yourself in me. I have become the reflection of you by words." A mirroring that enables you to see yourself more objectively and clearly. And then Abbot Francis concludes, the spiritual director is like another self. He can help to quicken the process of knowing oneself and God. Again, this image of we cannot see ourselves adequately without the help of another is found elsewhere in the spiritual literature. C.S. Lewis has a beautiful image of this in the concluding book of his Interplanetary Trilogy, That Hideous Strength, where there is a kind of great festal robing in preparation for a festal meal by a group of individuals, but there is no way that they can see what they are wearing or what they're going to wear because there are no mirrors in the room where they're to vest. They have to depend on one another to show them or to tell them how they look. You only see what you look like by seeing the reaction in the face and in the eyes of others. That's a literary metaphor for this important image that I think, again, we can carry with us as we look at early Christian sources. Dropping down a little further, by thus unfolding oneself to another, we begin to more realistically hold ourselves accountable for our own spiritual progress. The director is one who listens, cares, and understands. And then dropping down still further, the relationship helps the person really to know themselves through the reflection of another significant person who genuinely listens and cares about their progress. And finally, in chapter 3 of his thesis, there are two points. We've already looked at two characteristics of the spiritual direction relationship. We noticed that it was not a group relationship, it's one-to-one, that it is a consistent relationship. And then here finally are two more little aphorisms, two more little characteristics we can carry with us in our assessment of the ancient tradition. The spiritual direction relationship, as it's understood today, concerns two principal tasks. Number one, the discernment of spirits, diakrisis, which we'll, as I've mentioned, talk more about. And number two, growth in prayer. The capacity to be aware of what is happening in one's prayer life. Often this consists in being aware of what the impediments to prayer are or what are the dysfunctional images of God or others that are emerging at my time of prayer. How can those gradually be set aside so that I can perceive more clearly the God who truly is? So again, Abbot Francis' thesis provides us with some very helpful generalizations about spiritual direction, its characteristics, and its goals.